It's now time for our children to be dismissed to children's church. And while they're going, you're going to be turning in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Obviously, I have to truncate a sermon today, and so I decided to do a six-point sermon on a day that I need to cut it down. I think I can manage it. I'm going to take us back through the book of Acts chapter 2. I'm actually going to go back one verse, and one of my favorite theologians that's out there, one of my favorite preachers, is Martin Lloyd-Jones. And Martin Lloyd-Jones was a minister back in England in the 50s. He was Welsh originally. I mean, he's Welsh, and he ended up at Westminster Church in England. He was a man that could preach. He could just preach. He's an awesome preacher. He's a man that could preach over the same text 20 times and have 20 different sermons. In fact, as I was looking through his commentaries on Acts, I was noticing that he went back over this little portion of Scripture, kind of like a painter, about six times. And he just kind of kept going through it, pulling out new things. And so I was reading back through it, and I thought there's a verse I wanted to really highlight. We've talked about the coming of the Spirit. We've talked about what that means for the church and how the coming of the Spirit was the beginning of the church age and how the coming of the Spirit gave the disciples great power and confidence and boldness. And the coming of the Spirit was a moment of great salvation as 3,000 people came to the Lord that day. But there's a verse here, verse 38, I wanted to focus on today because it's a phrase that's found in the book of Acts four times, and it's found in the other parts of the Scripture several other times, about 13 times, not necessarily directly the gift of the Spirit, but the gift of salvation or the gift that comes from God or the gift of grace. And it's a very particular Greek word. It's a very particular word for gift. There's different words for gift. This particular word is a gift that is given to us or given to someone for no reason, and with no expectation of anything in return. It's that kind of a gift. It's not because of something you've done. It's not because the other party is expecting something on the other side. It's a gift given out of love and for your benefit and for your good. And so today we're going to be looking at the gift of the Holy Spirit and what that means to us. Why is the Holy Spirit a gift? Why would the writers of Scripture, why would God tell us that the Holy Spirit is a gift? We'll talk about that today. It's good for us to hear this because it's uplifting. It's encouraging. So let me read verse 38, and then we will pray and get into this text. And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Let's pray. Father, we come into your presence again, and we ask you that you would bless the reading and the hearing and the preaching of your word, that you, by the power of the Spirit, would bring to our minds the things we need to hear. Lord, that you would speak to the hearts and the places that each one of us needs to hear from you. Lord, each one of us is in a different place in our walk with Christ. We're all dealing with different issues and difficulties. We're in different places of growth and sanctification. But you know us. You know us right where we are. Lord, there's not a hair that falls from our head that you don't know. And so I ask today that you would apply this text to every aspect of our hearts where we need it, that you will anoint me to preach with your power, that I'll speak only the words of truth, you'll protect me from error, and Lord, may we see wonderful and marvelous things in your law. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you can imagine that gift. You can imagine a gift that's been given to you. The most exciting gifts are those that you don't expect, a gift that comes out of the blue. It could be a small gift. It could come to you from a loved one. It could come in a little box all tied up with a ribbon. Those are fun gifts because it's a surprise to see what's inside there. It could be a gift that you absolutely did not expect, that someone loves you enough and they saw a need in your life, and without any comprehension, without any expectation, this falls into your lap. Somebody does something for you that is absolutely a deep and great blessing. Maybe it's a financial need. Maybe it's an issue with your child. Maybe it's something that you needed medically. Whatever it may be, and someone comes in and steps in and gives you this gift without any expectation of anything in return, and they do it simply because they love you. And you know that feeling when it happens. It's exciting. It's shocking. It's humbling. If you're like me, I've had some gifts in my life that you're simply humbled by, that somebody would actually care enough about me to do this. Getting a gift is a great part of our lives. Now, giving the gift is just as fun. In fact, the scriptures tell us that to give is better than to receive. But getting that gift is so exciting. And you know that feeling. Well, this text is telling us that the Holy Spirit is a gift. And it's that Greek word. It's the gift that's given to someone without anything expected in return. And so, for God to call the Holy Spirit a gift means we need to think about what that means for just a minute. Now, it's important to set the stage, and one thing to be reminded of, the Holy Spirit, He is not an it. He is not a force. He is not a power. He is God. The Holy Spirit is God Himself. To speak of God is to speak of the Spirit. To speak of the Spirit is to speak of God, just as it is when we speak of the Son or the Father. So to clarify, this is not some force that's been given. God didn't do something, some unseen spiritual force that's been given to us. The gift is God Himself. That's what it means to have the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is the gift of God Himself. God is giving a gift to us, and that gift is Himself. That's why it's the greatest gift ever. In fact, if you were to look at Luke's gospel when he's talking about the Lord's Prayer in chapter 11, Luke says that the disciples asked Jesus how to pray, and he taught them how to pray, and then he expounds on it a little bit, and he says, now you being humans, you understand what it means to do good things for your children. If your child asks of you a fish, you don't give him a snake. You're good parents. If you what that child asks for, if it's in your power, you give it to them. And Jesus finishes off that little portion of Scripture saying, how much more will God give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? And so when Jesus is summing up the whole aspect of the Lord's Prayer, where we're asking for daily bread and leading us out of temptation and all the stuff we are appropriately to ask for in that text, at the end of the day, at the end of everything, what God's telling us is you need the Holy Spirit. Who you really need is the Holy Spirit. And when you're seeking God in prayer and you ask Him for the Holy Spirit, He will give Him to you. And so this is a promise that's made to us. If we ask God for the Holy Spirit, He will provide Him to us. If you're a believer, He's provided Him to you. He has sent Him into your heart. But I want to remind you today what He does for us. And we'll have to clip through these fairly quickly because we don't have a lot of time to spend on each one of these. But I want to remind you, believer, why the Spirit is such a great gift from God, why it is the ultimate gift. The first is the Spirit brings life. He is life itself. In fact, I've mentioned previously that the word Spirit in both Hebrew and Greek is connected to the words for wind and breath and life and soul. And the words are all connected there. And so to speak of the wind and to speak of breath, with breath indicating life, is to speak of Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is life itself. Psalm chapter 104 is a beautiful psalm about how God takes care of creation. And there's a portion of the scripture where it says that with all the creatures that are in the field, that God gives his face to them. He feeds them. And when He turns His face away, they mourn. And when He takes their life away, they die. When He takes their breath away. But when He puts His Spirit into them, they live. Because even the creatures of the field are enlivened and kept alive by the Holy Spirit. He is life itself. We see this picture in the book of Genesis when Adam is lying on the ground, a molded piece of clay, dead. There's nothing to him yet. And it says that God breathes the breath of life into him. The Spirit flows into Adam. He's filled with the Spirit of God. And that's where his life comes from. Even prior to God, as He's forming him, he's not alive yet until the Spirit enters into him. So it's life itself that comes from the Spirit. This is why it's a great gift, that we have the Spirit given to us. And so, Christian, I would ask you today, do you need life? Do you need life in you? Do you need refreshing life in you? Ask God for His Spirit, and He will give you new life. He will give you refreshment in yourself. But He's not just the Spirit of life. He's something even greater than that. It's connected to it, but it's like the bonus level. It's new creation. The Spirit brings new creation. As the Spirit in Genesis chapter 1 hovers over the waters, as the earth is being formed, and the Bible tells us that the Spirit was hovering over the face of the waters as God was working and bringing out of chaos order. It's the Spirit that's doing this. The same picture happens in Acts chapter 2. We read this just a few weeks ago. As the disciples are gathered and they're praying for God to do what he said he was going to do, they're waiting on the promise of the Father. What does the Spirit do when he comes in? He rushes in like a wind, sounds like wind, and what does he do? He rests or hovers over the heads of the disciples. And so it's a picture of creation and new creation. It's happening with the beginning of the church. And so the Spirit is the one who brings new creation. He brings new creation to our hearts and to our souls. This is what Paul's talking about in Galatians, talking about being a new creation in Christ, living because of the Spirit, living because of who Jesus is. And so, Christian, I would ask you this. Do you need renewal? You may need life, that's one thing. You may feel dead in one sense. But do you need renewal? Do you need spiritual renewal? Do you feel dry, like those old bones in Ezekiel chapter 37, the valley of dry bones? Ezekiel's out there looking, and all he sees are a bunch of corpses laying out in the field. Bones, nothing on them, dried and bleached in the sun. And what happens in that text? God comes in, the Spirit comes in, and Ezekiel says, it was as if I was watching humanity grow. Their skin came back on them, sinews and bones and tendons and flesh, and they were back alive again, because this is what God can do. And so, Christian, if you feel like those dried bones out in the field, ask God for the Spirit. Ask Him for renewal by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, if you ask the Father, He will give Him to you. He will not withhold Him. Just as you will not withhold the fish from your child, God will not withhold His Spirit from you. But He doesn't just give life and new creation, He brings adoption. And the Spirit is the one that adopts us into the family of God. When we are born again, when God gives us faith and repentance and the ability to believe in Him, He brings us to a place of justification. We repent and we believe in Jesus. There's a step in our salvation that's called adoption. We are adopted into the family of God. The old name that we had is gone, and we have a new name. That very interesting passage in Revelation where Jesus says, He's talking to the churches, and He says, to him who overcomes, I will give a white stone. And on that stone is a name that no one else knows except the one I give it to. It's the name that God gives each one of us, a new name. This is the Spirit of adoption. The Holy Spirit comes in as He comes into our lives, and He brings us into the family of God. He adopts us as His own. He seals us with the Holy Spirit. It's a sealing that says, mine, cannot be tampered with, cannot be touched. It's like those government seals that are on top of a particular product that are sealed on there, indicating this has been inspected and it belongs. It's been taxed or whatever it's been done. This is theirs, right? It's finished. The Holy Spirit is our seal. We're sealed until the day of Christ's return. We cannot be hampered or harmed. As connected to this, as the new children of God, we also have the promise of no judgment. This is what else the Spirit brings to us. Because we're in Christ, because He has borne the wrath of God for our sins, because the Spirit is within us, we stand uncondemned. We don't stand under God's wrath. We don't stand under His judgment. We may stand under His discipline, but we don't stand under His judgment, because the Spirit of God is at life, is life in us, and He's moving in us. Christian, do you need to be reminded of your status, of your place? You are a child of God if you are in Christ Jesus. You belong to Him. You're in His family. He is your Father, and you have the right to call Him so. You are children born of a King. You've come out of the world of darkness, a kingdom of darkness and a kingdom of sin and a kingdom of death, and you've been brought into the kingdom of light and life and joy. Do you need a reminder of this, Christian? Ask God for the Holy Spirit to bring you to remembrance, the Spirit of adoption, to understand that because of the Holy Spirit, you are joined into the family of God. You are into something so much greater than you could have imagined. He doesn't just bring us adoption. He gives us the ability to be obedient. And this is a great blessing. In Ezekiel, it talks about, in Ezekiel 36, prior to the Valley of Dry Bones, it's talking about God will give them a new spirit. And He'll give them a spirit, a heart of flesh instead of a heart of stone. And He will cause you to walk in His statutes. He will cause you to obey His rules. This is the Holy Spirit in us. This is a great blessing. Because if we were not filled with the Spirit, we would walk away. I used to play a game with Erin when we would walk through the parking lot, and she would hold my hand and she would let go. And when she would let go, I would start merging off, and I would like, Erin, come get me, come get me. And I would walk off to the side, and she'd run over and grab me and pull me back. This is what the Holy Spirit does for us. We're the kid that's walking off. We let go of Daddy's hand and we go walking off down the trail over here. And God brings us back and He pulls us back and He causes us to walk in obedience. This is the gift of the Spirit. This is good news for us, believer. He's the one that brings to mind the words of Christ. He's the one that gives us wisdom and knowledge. He's the one that convicts us of our sins. He's the one that reminds us that we're not our own, that we are bought with a price. This is the gift of God for us in the Spirit. Christian, do you need help walking in Christ? Do you need help abiding in the true vine? John 15, I am the true vine. If you cannot live or do anything, if you are a believer and you're outside of the vine, you must be connected to the vine. And it's the Holy Spirit that provides that connection. He is the one that keeps us connected to Christ. Christian, do you need this? Jesus tells us if you'll ask the Father for the Spirit, He will give Him to you. He will do this. He will not leave you empty. Ask the Father. He's a Spirit that brings us sanctification. He keeps us, He cleanses us. He makes us clean. We are forgiven of the guilt of sin in justification. And in sanctification, we're washed of the pollution of sin at once, through life, and ultimately. So today is the through life, and it's the Spirit that's bringing us sanctification, cleansing and washing and helping us to become more and more like Christ. He's the one that gives us the power for life, to live each day, and to serve, to do the things we're supposed to do for Him. It's a great gift. Without Him, the disciples would have failed. We know they would have, because they did. They ran away. They denied Jesus. But when the Spirit came, boldness to stand and proclaim Christ to the nations, to the Jewish leaders, to the Romans. I don't care. Bring them on. I'm going to tell them about Jesus. This is what the Spirit does for us. It's a great gift from God. We're not on our own. And finally, well, let me ask the question. Christian, do you need sanctification? Do you need holiness? Do you need cleansing? Do you need righteousness? Do you need to be washed? It's only through the blood of Christ, but it's by the power of the Spirit that these things happen. He's the one that pushes you to repentance. He's the one that pushes you to the Scriptures. He's the one that pushes you to your knees to call out to God to wash and cleanse you and make you holy. Do you need this, Christian? Ask God for His Spirit. Jesus said that if you'll do this, He will give Him to you. And He will help you to live a holy and sanctified life. The final thing that is... And there's more. I could keep going. This is just six. The Holy Spirit helps us to focus and causes us to focus on Jesus, our Savior. This is not the greatest aspect of the gift of the Holy Spirit, but it is one of the most important because this particular aspect really entails all the others. The Holy Spirit is the one who, as I've mentioned, He always brings back to mind the words of Christ. He's the one that says, Jesus said this. Jesus taught this. This is what's in the book of Proverbs. This is what's in the book of Genesis. All of this is God's word. All of this is Jesus' words in one sense. He's the one that brings to mind God's word. And always pointing to Christ. He reminds us of Christ's life, of what He did, how He lived a perfect life, a sinless life. He reminds us of His death and His sacrifice, and how He took our place. He's the one that reminds us that it was Jesus that did this for you. He's the one that died in your place. He's the one that loved you enough to give up His place beside the Father for a time, to come and take on human flesh, to suffer all the indignities of this life. He reminds us of His obedience. How did Jesus walk? always faithful to the Father, always, always, always obedient to the Father. Do the same, the Holy Spirit says to us. He's the one that reminds us that Christ is ruling and reigning and will return. He did not leave us here alone, and He did not leave us here forever. He will come back. And the Spirit's the one that always reminds us of this. And He reminds us of our union with Christ. This is probably one of the most important things that I've been being reminded of recently, is that in Christ, because I am in union with Him by the Spirit, He joined Himself to humanity, and in His humanity, He was able to join Himself to us, and thus we are in union with Him. This union with Christ provides us with all that we need. Everything that Christ is and has is ours. This is what union with Christ means. We're not Jesus, we're not deity, but we are brothers with Christ. He is our elder brother, and everything that's His is ours. Every victory that He has and every victory that He obtained is our victory. His resurrection is ours. He's the first fruits, but we're coming. His glory, His kingdom, His righteousness, all of that, because of our union with Christ, is ours. It's just a helpful thing to remember, Christian, in your day-to-day life as you struggle and deal with things and deal with sin and deal with troubles and trials, to remember that your union with Christ provides you with everything that you need. And this is the Spirit that's working in us. He's the one that joins us to Christ, and He's the one that reminds us of this union. So I'll close this part, and then we'll turn to the Lord's Supper. Christian, do you need to be reminded of this? Do you need to be reminded of your union with Christ? That you're not alone? Not only are you adopted into the family, that's wonderful, you're adopted into the family of God, but you're in union with Christ. He's your brother. You're His servant. He's your king. But He's also your brother. How all this works out, I don't know. This is God's doing. He does amazing things. It doesn't make sense to our human minds. He's both my Lord and Master and Savior, and He's my brother. Christian, remember these things. The Spirit is a great gift from God. He's the one that does all of this. It is through God's Spirit that all of these things are true. And God says to us, "This is my gift to you." And the Son says, "Do you need the Spirit? Do you need something, Christian? Do you need the Spirit working in your life? Ask of the Father. He'll give it to you. He loves you." Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the truth that is here, for the reality of Scripture, that it is the Holy Spirit working. It is the Holy Spirit moving in our lives that keeps us alive, that brings us refreshment and life and restores us to health. Lord, when we fail and fall, it's the Spirit that convicts us and lifts us up and brings us back to the Savior. It is the Spirit that points us to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, points us to His life, who helps us live holy lives, helps us be obedient. Oh God, thank You for the Holy Spirit. Thank You for this great gift. We don't deserve You, Spirit. Thank You for Your ministry to us, for Your living in us, and for Your changing us. And we pray that You'll help us to keep in step with You as we're told to do, that we will walk with You, walk in the Spirit as we're told to do. And Father, we ask You to fill us with Your Spirit. You told us that if we ask for the Spirit, You will give Him to us. And Lord, we know as believers we have Him, but we ask You for more. Give us more of the Holy Spirit. Help us to be more filled with Him. Lord, we thank You for this in Jesus' name. Amen.